Hello and welcome to History Gap. I'm Georgia McAndrew.
And I'm Lucy Hunt, and this is a show dedicated to the women of history.
Disclaimer, we're not historians, just two gals who love a good story.
Today I've got a story about a group of women who scared the German Nazi soldiers shitless, to be honest with you, and made a name for themselves in World War II. Are you ready, Georgia?
Oh, you had me at women scaring soldiers shitless, Lucy.
It's deep into the night, and the German soldiers have been on the lookout for enemy planes or possible sounds of an attack for the last few hours. To pass the time, soldiers exchanged stories of what other men had seen on the battlefield, but one story made them more nervous than the rest. There was talk of
pilots who have received pills and treatment that give them the night vision of a cat, special transport that seemed different to the rest. It sounded like a witch's broomstick.
The men had always gossiped. It was one of those nights where the air felt sharp, and aside from the occasional sound of a soldier rubbing his hands together, can you give me a good rubbing? I mean, a rubbing noise. Can you give me a good rubbing? Sounds a bit weird out of context.
Buy me a drink first, Lucy.
Anyway, rubbing their hands with the hope of staying warm, and the howl of the wind as it weaved through the trees. You could describe it as a fairly quiet night. At this point, cigarettes had been forbidden at night, not to give away their position to the mythical soldiers with the incredible eyesight, the ones they so greatly feared. Suddenly, they begin to hear a murmur of an unfamiliar sound, edging closer. It feels as if something strange has happened in the night sky surrounding them.
The night witches!
They probably have more of a German accent than that, but that was a German
joke. The night witches. I don't know if that was offensive to German people. I'm sorry if it was.
Okay.
Ooh.
Let's meet the night witches.
Please.
So they are a World War II German nickname for the all-female military aviators who were a part of the Soviet Air Forces. Their real title would be the 588th Night Bomber Regiment. That's their official title, but obviously they are known now as the Night Witches, which was the nickname they gave them because they were so terrified of their broom-like sounds from their planes. I love that description.
Yeah, it's like the ultimate girl band.
Which girl band would you compare them to, Georgia?
Cheetah Girls, maybe? Oh,
yeah, very nice. But interestingly, during the war, there was actually a lot of conversation about supernaturals going on. So the SS, which was a big paramilitary army under Hitler, which had its own witch division.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and it was believed that they intended to collect historical records to basically prove that the witch trials the Catholic Church had done was to eliminate German heritage, which was a belief they held. The SS held, yeah. But perhaps all this research made Hitler quite paranoid that the rumours could be true.
Mm.
There was lots of different tactics and tales that are basically used by different military forces to capitalise on this interest that they had in the dark arts. MI6 apparently hired a British screenwriter and pagan, Cecil Williamson, to head down to Sussex to a place called Ashdown Forest, basically to capitalise on this interest that they knew they had and were researching. They staged a ritual and only a few people knew about the project. And this is all rumour and hearsay. Obviously MI6 have not come out and said that this happened.
Yeah.
But there is people who were apparently there at the time who have reported back on this story.
That is so interesting.
Yeah.
Did they think that people practicing dark magic were gonna like sway the tide of the war by spells? Or
I think they thought maybe he might have a paranoia that he might be cursed, for example. Or I don't think MI6 believed. It was more of like a trying to make people feel insecure and paranoid of the what if, basically.
Yeah. I kind of love like the image of Hitler addressing all these like SES people being like, the witches.
Yeah.
We must control the witches.
We must.
And also, the actual night witches in the Soviet Air Force, I feel like I need a female Top Gun version of this.
Yes.
In the cinemas.
Oh, I can see it. Yeah. All right, let's get back to the story.
Yes. Tell me more, please.
One of the most famous night witches, Nadzieja Popova, who personally flew over 852 missions and held the title of Hero of the Soviet Union, said of their apparent magical powers, "This was nonsense, of course. What we did have were clever, educated, and very talented girls."
I'm so sorry to interrupt, but 852 missions. I don't think I've done anything 852 times, apart from maybe, like, going to the loo. Like, what?
That was actually my first thought. It was, yeah, just going to the loo that many times.
Yeah, I've maybe had, like, 850 cups of tea.
They flew under the cover of darkness in bare-bones plywood biplanes. They faced bullets and even frostbite, battled uncomfortable remarks and sexual harassment on the ground. They were feared and hated so much by the Nazis that any German airman who downed one was awarded the prestigious Iron Cross Medal straight away.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's how much they're scared of you.
Yeah. I love that. That is like a power-ass move. But also plywood. Can we do better than that?
Yeah. For these plywood's incredible heroes? Very basic. It reminds me of, like, GCSE arts and crafts.
Oh my gosh, yeah, just grab some plywood from the corner and it would just snap instantly, yeah.
Around 400 women, aged 17 to 25, were selected and began training. They learnt years of training and information within just a few months, whilst also dealing with misogyny from many of the soldiers in the Soviet ranks. They were belittled or called little girls, and they weren't taken seriously or given proper equipment. They had to stuff their boots with whatever they could get their hands on, such as ripped up bedding, and they were strategic with the little resource they had. They may have disliked the treatment they received from their male colleagues, but they hated the Nazis even more. With mistreatment and ridicule a common occurrence, they were fighting two battles at once.
Mm. This is such an interesting thing within, like, World War history, specifically World War II, like, how, like, involved women actually were.
Yeah.
Like, within factories and hospitals, stuff like that, that it obviously really challenged people's preconceptions of what women were actually capable of.
Yeah. Let's chat a little bit more about the planes. They were extremely basic. They were made of wood and canvas material. They were actually so small that they could only carry two bombs at a time, and they were not good enough to carry machine guns at all. So they basically, at the time, you know, an average plane would have carried a lot more than two bombs. But the Night Witches then had to run, like, multiple missions, eight on an average during the night. And they couldn't actually run any during the day because of how exposed they were to threats such as, you know, getting shot out of the sky. It would have been so easy to have brought them down.
It's quite sad, isn't it? Because it's like, even though, like, history now acknowledges, like, the impact that they had and how feared they were, that at the time, obviously people just couldn't, like, pass it. They were women, and so they were given no equipment.
Yeah, the basics.
Were basically just, I mean, made of wood and canvas material. That to me just feels like, I mean, I know nothing about aerodynamics, but that just makes me feel like they're going to crumple as soon as that goes into the air. Like, those women must have been so brave.
You know, they had more disadvantages. They were slow, highly flammable. They basically had no armour. However, they managed to find several practical advantages.
Of course they did, because they're women.
Yeah, exactly. One advantage was that the plane, because of its basic construct, they were very difficult to come up on enemy radars.
Hmm.
And what they would do is, when they would approach a target, they would shut off of the engine and glide to the destination. So they were essentially silent assassins at that point.
Silent Night Witch assassins. I love it.
And that explains the swooshing sound that they would have heard.
Ah.
They would swoosh on in through the gliding.
That's cool.
Okay, let's get back to the story. The famous female pilot, Marina Raskova, was why the 588th, or the Night Witches, was allowed to bring all these women together. She was already famous within the Soviet Union for being the first woman to achieve the diploma of professional air navigator. She also became a hero before the war for a long-distance flight she took and surviving 10 days in the wilderness. She went to Joseph Stalin, the leader of the Soviet Union, at first to say, "We have this resource. Why can't we use them?" Which is the women. And he agreed. Women were allowed to fly. On the 8th of October 1941, an order was issued to deploy 3 women's Air Force units, including the 588th Regiment. The main goal of the Night Witches was to disorient and sleep deprive the enemy. And soon after beginning their runs, it became clear that they were very successful. Not only were the Nazis thrown off by the near nightly attacks, but they were also pretty pissed off when they learned it was an all-female regiment that was responsible.
Oh my gosh, I can imagine.
Yeah, I would love to have been like a little fly on the wall when they realised what was going on.
100%. I bet there were so many of them that were just like, no, 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 not possible. And I love that they've gone like straight into the sleep deprive tactics. Savage. I love it.
But they were never given enough credit where it was due. There wasn't much appreciation then either. They carried on pushing on, however, and they went on to fly around 30,000 attacks. 23 of their pilots have been awarded Hero of the Soviet Union. After the war, however, the Soviet government downplayed the role of female pilots. They were told to not talk about their experience, so we never heard enough personal stories from them.
It's so sad. That's kind of what I was saying earlier, that, you know, women, they got access to all these roles that they'd never had before, and then it gets taken away from them when the war is over.
Yeah, that must be so frustrating. And also, like, realizing your own potential as well.
I think in a way, it kind of shows how much they wanted, like, the agency in being involved in the war and being able to be a pilot, that they would risk being in such bad conditions and with such bad equipment just to even remotely be on an equal playing field with, like, the men in the army. And then I just can't imagine how that would feel when you've proven yourself that way and then it just gets taken away from you and there's no defense as to why it's getting taken away from you as well, because how do you justify taking all those new skills away from women? And also, just going back to Marina Raskova.
Yeah.
Just marching on up to Joseph Stalin.
Yeah.
One of the world's most fearsome dictators. Like, that's, I think that's what we continue to see in History Gap, is these women just, are so bold and so brave and just, I don't know, literally take life by the balls. And it's so inspiring.
Yeah, I love it.
I think that is an incredible story. And I, as you said, I just love a bunch of quaking men cold in a trench worrying about night witches. You've been listening to History Gap.
A quick note about our dialogue. In some cases, we don't know the exact details, so some of it has been dramatised based on historical research.
I'm Georgia McAndrew.
And I'm Lucy Hunt, and we brought you History Gap.
We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Please leave us a comment in the reviews and let us know if there's a story you'd love us to cover.
Subscribe, follow along, and we'll see you soon.
Love you, bye!
Love you, bye!